This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, welcoming you to this month's edition of First Friday Focus on the Environment. There is a lot going on in the environmental realm, and on the first Friday of every month, we touch on the topics at hand with the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Let's say welcome back to Lisa Wozniak. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you, David.
Well, I want to start with this topic because we're reaching that time of summer, and it's, of course, Lake Erie. Scientific analysis says the warmer weather we have had through the late spring and early summer is going to result in more significant algal blooms on the lake over the next couple of months. Is that what you're hearing, too?
I am, unfortunately. It looks as if 2017 may be on par with 2014, which, as you remember, is when the entire city of Toledo and southern lower Michigan and Monroe was without water for about 4 days.
Yeah, it affected about 500,000 people.
That's right. And many of those people they rely on sort of social networks to find out about what's going on with their water. And many did not know right away that their water was turned off and it was very dangerous for them. Well, not turned off, but they shouldn't be using it to bathe their children, to drink. And when they did find out, they went as far as Ann Arbor in search of bottled water. And so there's great worry. NOAA has predicted that this summer will be the one of the worst we've seen in the last 15 years. So depending on how the winds blow, we'll see whether or not it gets into the water intake plant.
This comes as both the state of Michigan and Ohio have enacted some measures to try and reduce runoff phosphorus that's used in the agriculture industry in an effort to improve the water quality and prevent these kind of algal blooms. Is this a matter of needing more time for those measures to work, or is it a need for more immediate measures?
I would argue that it's a time for more immediate measures. A couple of things have taken place. While Michigan has declared its portion, which is a very small portion of Lake Erie, as impaired, Ohio has not. The EPA has not. What we're working with right now is what's called a domestic action plan in each of the states. Michigan has just released ours just last week, and Ohio is due to have theirs out in October, and then a binational agreement puts the United States or this region on target to actually have their plan done in February. But these plans are supposed to be addressing the phosphorus runoff that is going into the lakes. And the plan that Michigan released just last week, frankly, is not very strong. It's relying on things that we've already done. It fails to outline a robust monitoring network to track the changes of water quality. It doesn't set parameters for how and when we will adapt if runoff reductions aren't on track to the 40% goal. So I am not that hopeful that we're going to see drastic near-term reductions.
With that in mind, is there a greater threat in the future given the proposed cuts in funding to the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative and to the EPA and its ability to provide not only regulatory policy but oversight as well?
Yeah, well, we're dealing with that issue both at the state and at the federal level. At the federal level, we're seeing really incredible proposed cuts to all things environment. From a budgetary standpoint, our waters are under attack. Instead of making our Great Lakes great again, we are actually seeing that they're under siege. And this problem in Lake Erie, which is also indicative of problems with algae all over the state and the region, is definitely a place where we're going to see a big hit if these proposals go through. The Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, which is about $300 million a year, proposed to be cut almost completely. Professor Reuter from Ohio State University has indicated that if we actually see these kind of drastic cuts coming to the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative and the EPA, Lake Erie, he has been quoted as saying it may be dead on arrival.
Because it already has major dead zones in it.
That's right. So these funds are not only necessary, they're imperative to the health of our waterways. And we're seeing Lake Erie as sort of a canary in the coal mine, if you will. It is the place where we have the largest algal bloom, the one that's been tracked and monitored for the longest period of time, and the one that, frankly, has turned off a city's water.
WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU. We've been talking about Lake Erie and algal blooms with our guest Lisa Wozniak. She is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. And we're going to shift our attentions to another area of the state of Michigan where action has been underway, but perhaps more is needed, and that is the city of Flint. Lisa, in what some would consider a rather bold move, the state of Michigan has decided to sue the city of Flint for what it considers to be a failure of ensuring a safe water supply. The Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, which has been found to have had a significant role in the decisions that brought on the lead contamination of the Flint water supply in the first place, is now suing Flint because city council there has yet to approve a proposed 30-year deal with the Detroit's Great Lakes Water Authority as negotiated by Mayor Karen Weaver. Was this a move, this lawsuit, something you found surprising?
Well, let me just first say, it is unfathomable that almost 3 years later, we have families in the state of Michigan surrounded by the largest fresh water bodies in the world that still do not have safe, clean drinking water. Was this a surprise? Well, the City Council and Mayor Karen Weaver have been in a tough place for a long time. Well, reports are showing that the City Council was not getting kind of the adequate information that they had requested time and again to make the decision that was before them. We also have to remember that City Council is reacting perhaps this way because it was the cost related to the Detroit Water in the first place that pivoted the city to look for alternatives for budgetary reasons. You know, this is not a rich city any longer. It once was years ago. We're now looking at a city that has a lot of challenges.
But what we now know is you cannot afford to not invest
absolutely.
In a safe water supply.
Absolutely. So now we're seeing suits on both sides. And so,
well, let me ask you this. You know, we've been talking about action, and you mentioned it's been 3 years now. The state has been very slow to get the promised pipe replacements that would take out all of those old connections that allowed the leaching of lead to contaminate the water in the first place. Now we're dealing with even more lawsuits. Do you see progress slowing even further? Can you envision a time where the city of Flint has fully safe water?
I sure hope so. And I know that that the work that we're doing organizationally, organizations across the state, notably grassroots organizations, frankly, in Flint, that are keeping this alive and in the focus of the media and others, are working as hard as we can to convince local, state, and frankly, federal units of government to actually invest and make these changes ASAP. What's very worrisome to me, it goes back to sort of where our budgets are at the state and the federal levels. I mean, a budget is an indication of priorities. And if we look at what's happening, I don't see the necessary dollars going in here. In fact, I see cuts, proposed cuts. We battled like crazy to make sure that the lead and copper rule expansion that the governor was actually advocating for was something that the state legislature, if not holistically adopted, you know, made a part of the budgetary process here in Michigan. The proposed budget cuts at the federal level could have incredibly detrimental impacts on safe drinking water dollars, and that means Flint.
And then take it a step further. We haven't even begun to discuss or even analyze what the long-term health care costs are going to be because of this water crisis. And that, too, is going to be a budget expenditure that has not been planned for or allowed for.
That's right. I mean, there have definitely been some conversations about this. There are funds being raised in many different ways by the wonderful doctor. Dr. Mona Hanna-Attisha has her own campaign underway. It's ongoing. Very aware, as she is, as a medical practitioner in the city of Flint, of what the implications are. No, this is not being taken care of in the way that we need to take care of it. And frankly, Flint is our problem here in Michigan. As we look across aging municipalities across this country, there are over 1,000 cities that have lead levels 3 times higher than the permissible levels. So we're dealing with a crisis that is Flint, and it is much more. And we're going to need state and local and federal governments to actually really make a deep investment in these issues. Education, infrastructure, it is at the core of what we need to see happen.
Well, our time together is just about at an end, but I want to ask this. Neither the federal budget or the state budget has been signed into law. Do you see anywhere where we might make progress before it gets to the governor's desk and before the budget is signed off by the Congress and the president?
We made some progress here in Michigan in the final days of the legislature actually really doing battle over the budget. Important changes were made before it went to his desk. The big deal here is that the state budget still is counting on about $31 million in funding from the feds, and I'm not really sure where they think they're going to be getting that, because if you look at the Trump budget, all it is cuts across a broad spectrum of issues, including, very importantly, environment and public health. And so what gives me a little bit of hope, frankly, is we've seen an increasing number of issues that have garnered bipartisan support on behalf of our congressional delegation. Certainly some of the things around invasive species, the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. It is my hope that as we talk about Great Lakes and drinking water, that kind of bipartisan support will continue to expand, knowing how important the Great Lakes and our waters are to us as Michiganders.
Well, my guess, this is going to be a part of our conversation on the first Friday of next month. Thank you for your time today.
You're welcome. It's always a pleasure.
That is Lisa Wozniak, Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and our regular commentator on First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.